Okay. Let's see. So, meanwhile, after a long break, we are on paper 115, section 4, which is right at the bottom of old single column page 1263. All right. Before we get started, especially since it's been so long, just we need to get ourselves spun up again a little bit about what they wanted you to have in mind before you stepped in to this section. So the first thing is, remember the title of this paper is The Supreme Being. And very much in that last section, they were making sure that we definitively understood that when we use the name the Supreme Being, that's an individuality name, not a unity name, and it's for the being that comes into existence when the finite is all said and done. The completion of the finite, there's this personality, power personality synthesis process that's been going on all throughout the evolutional finite age. And it finally is all done, all comes together, and you have this completed being, the supreme being, it's most understandable to call that being a he, in the sense that they use that he and she in the book. He is not womb. He's a being that's at this point. But fundamentally, at that point, the finite has been transcended. And you have an absonite being, the supreme being, the beginning of the absonite. And remember how they told us that we need to understand that even though we have these two gifts from the Father, personality and a thought adjuster, we're still within the womb of the finite. We're definitely finite beings. And there are distinct limits to our ability to comprehend the nature of reality. And so as we challenge ourselves to reach toward that infinite He, the universal Father, really the most that we can directly, literally comprehend is the Supreme Being. So it's another way to think about what the Supreme Being represents. If you bring the he-ness of the universal Father down to right there at the top of the finite domain, the total finite completion level of the finite, what does he look like? He looks like the Supreme Being. Okay. So that's the story with the Supreme Being, really. And the rest of this paper, they're going to begin to address the question of, well, okay, so what about now? I mean, how do I really understand this concept of the deity, the type of deity, the facet of deity, it's called the Supreme, in terms of the finite age here? How does it relate to the universe that I live in, not the universe I'm going to live in, when the finite is transcended and I'm a seven-stage spirit, and I can stand, I can approach the Supreme Being and say hello. And in order to get us moving in that direction, they were doing a couple things in this previous section. The first one, just quickly, remember how back in the you had that list of 1, 2, 3 in the previous section, the original, the actual, the potential. And if you look right above that, there was two words in all caps unity and all caps diversity. And remember, we pointed out that was, you know, they were trying to nudge you in a direction there. Even though you're in the midst of talking about the first source and center and getting to the supreme being, he and all this. And how that comes from the I am, the all caps unity. There's the other side of the equation. All caps diversity. The all are. You know, you want to immediately understand the fact that that's, you know, it hasn't shown up anywhere before. You see that, it should catch your attention, and you should be saying, okay, they're wanting me to start thinking about something. What is it? And very much besides the fact that the I am and the all are as two different ways that you can conceive of that totality as a starting point. This whole notion of challenging yourself to start looking at reality in both directions or from both sides, whatever that might mean in the particular circumstance. Always challenge yourself to say, okay, I'm understanding it like this. Now, what does it look like if I flip it around and look at it from the other direction? And think about how they primed that pump a few times. Right away at the very beginning of that section, they said the idea of the infinite eternal. And then parenthetically, they put comma, the eternal infinite. And then continued on with the sentence. You know, why did they do that? Why did they insert that parenthetical? If you say infinite eternal, okay, we're these time perspective beings, and we see ourselves cruising along through time and maybe stretching our minds all the way to eternity. And, but when we were talking about total deity, we recognized that what initially, you know, you're thinking of as a line where, you know, you head to eternity and one end of that long line, you know, you wrap that around and connect it together into the infinite eternal ellipse. And if you really do get all the way to that end, going around eternity, then you connect into infinity. You tag the infinite onto the eternal. And that's what that means. You know, when infinite is first, you've tagged the infinite onto the eternal. In other words, you've gone this way, all the way to the eternal and through to the infinite. Okay. Now, the other one, you know, where they put eternal first in the hyphenated word, you know, I'd say, well, you know, that's just going this direction around the ellipse. If I go this direction around the ellipse, you know, I get to the infinite, and then I connect to the eternal. Okay. So, see, that's what they want you to do. They want you to start thinking, well, you know, I can look at it this way, or I can look at it this way. You know, and they're related, you know, the I am direction or the all are direction.
Aren't they also related to time, eternal, and space, infinite?
Yeah, that's it. The other one I wanted to point out that was in there, just wanted to read this little paragraph, just a little bit past that list of original, actual, potential. They have this little paragraph that says, from the time viewpoint, the actual is that which was and is. The potential is that which is beginning and will be. The original is that which is. From the eternity viewpoint, from the eternity viewpoint, the differences between the original, the actual, and the potential are not thus apparent. These triune qualities are not so distinguished on paradise eternity levels. In eternity, all is, only has all not yet been revealed in time and space. Okay, so those two different viewpoints, the time viewpoint where you're thinking you start out with potentials and they're actualized and you get it to eternity, you know, and connect to the original again. Or the other way around where you look at it from the eternity viewpoint and it's all there. You know, what we think of as those three reservoirs of potential, you know, the three absolute reservoirs, really in the eternity viewpoint, I mean, what they are is just as literal as the actuals, you know, as the other, you know, of the seven absolutes of infinity. Now, in that viewpoint, it's all there, and all you're doing from that viewpoint is you have all of the everything there on the infinite level, and then you downstep it to the absolute level, and you downstep it to the absolute, and you downstep it to the finite. I mean, it's all just there, and it's just downstepped as a whole, the unity viewpoint. It's not, individuality viewpoint, it's a time viewpoint, where it's a whole bunch of things in there trying to all come together so that they can be embraced and be the all-are,
Okay. So from the eternity viewpoint, mm-hmm. the Supreme Being already exists.
Right. See, from the eternity viewpoint, you the Father gets downstepped as the Supreme Being. You come all the way down. By fiat, it's the antecedent following, and it's just there. Okay. Let's take another little example to think about this. We often talk about and to understand the relationship between Mirantia mind and the seven adjutant mind spirits. And it's very much the case that if you start out with cosmic mind on the top and you start downstepping, and you have Mirantia mind, you can imagine that you take Mirantia mind and you split it apart into seven facets, and then you have the seven adjutants. Well, from that simple perspective, it's like, well, then I don't have any Mirantia mind. I've just got the seven adjutants. If I split the Mirantia mind apart into the adjutants, well, but the moment that you have the seven adjutants, you have the super additive consequence of that system, which is the Mirantia mind. So see how, if you think about them both at the same time, both directions at the same time, then you have the full understanding of how they're related. Yes, it is true that that in terms of thinking about what the seven represent relative to Mirantia mind, it's Mirantia mind split apart into facets, and they're working together, in association. But there is that literal separate super additive consequence. It's not there's more than just the functional association. It literally has a super additive energy fact consequence, the Mirantia mind. And so that's why it can be there while these still are, and vice versa. Okay. Now, how does that bring us into God the Supreme, or just the deity, the Supreme? We talked about this, briefly when we were going through total deity. If you think of God the Supreme, as an expression that's come down from above, as that's downstepped another notch from that total finite level, from the supreme level, down, into the finite, into the evolutional level, it splits into two. God the Almighty and God the Mother. Okay, but now, should you say, well, that means God the Mother is part of God the Supreme, I should think of it in just in parts, and I just stick the two of them back to you. No, that's not, because that's just half of the picture. The moment you have those two in your you can conceptualize having those two, where this is a power personality synthesis, God the Supreme, well, just unthread it. Okay, now you have the power, God the Almighty, and the personality, God the Mother. But the moment you have those two, you have the super additive consequence of the relationship between the two. That is God the Supreme. Okay. So God the Mother, God the Mighty, and God the Supreme all exist simultaneously. It's not completely accurate to say, oh, well, God the Mother is God the Supreme. Well, yeah, yes and no. I mean, the personality part of God the Supreme comes from the existence of the finite upholder, God the Mother for the total finite. But God the Mother is God the Mother. Now, and see, the only way that you can begin to have this truer understanding of the nature of God is to let go of this purely bottom-up view, like we talked about just recently, where we start out, we know individual humans, and we think, well, God must be just a really exalted individual like that. So we start out with his individuality viewpoint. It's like, well, here's an individual. What's his name? Or what's her name, or whatever. That's just part of the picture. You know, to really understand it, because you're thinking about an individuality you're calling God, but what do they tell you? The truer definition of God is that God is personalized deity. So in other words, before you can even understand what God is, you have to know what deity is. Deity, you know, is a prior concept in the top-down view. You know, and deity is unity, but it has many facets. They all exist simultaneously, regardless of whether or not the time viewpoint thinks of them as strung together in some sequence. In the eternity viewpoint, every facet is there, completely. The God the Mother facet is completely there, etc. Okay. So that's what they really wanted you to have as you left this section. They wanted you to really be in this mode where you recognize that you need to be always thinking about it from both sides, you know, or both directions, or you know, whatever. You know, that there's a twofold viewpoint. It's almost always in play, and look for it, and that's where your real understanding is going to come from. So look what happens when they jump in here to this first section, where it immediately takes us.
Sources of supreme reality. Any consideration of the origins of God the Supreme must begin with the Paradise Trinity. For the Trinity is original deity, while the Supreme is derived deity. Any consideration of the growth of the Supreme must give consideration to the existential triodities, for they encompass all absolute actuality and all infinite potentiality in conjunction with the first source and center.
You need to stop there because that was, you know, that was all pretty chewy to start with. Okay. Before we read that, the rest of that, let's paint the picture. Okay, because we can do this. This is the advantage of taking all that time, you know, a while back and laying out total deity. As we engage this, we have a little bit of antecedent following that we can bring to play on understanding this. Okay. Remember how we talked about that the facet of deity that's called the Mother is related to the Trinity. You know, look at that, what they say right away. Any consideration of the origins of God the Supreme must begin with the Paradise Trinity. For the Trinity is original deity, while the Supreme is derived. Deity, right? Yeah. Okay, so let's see if we can paint this picture. And the reason I just printed off a bunch of copies of page 2 of Total Deity, if you haven't gotten that picture that we were playing in, you know, immediately at the front of your mind, that infinite eternal ellipse and the levels that wrap around it. Remember, we went through these seven levels, functional levels of Total Deity. We just want to focus on 5, 6, and 7. And their contact is that the 7 wraps around and connects to 1. 5, 6, 7, 1. Okay. So this half of the ellipse. Okay. So how does this work? Why is it that that the Trinity is the key in understanding the personality, personal purposive aspect of God the Supreme? When you downstep into God the Almighty and God the Mother, how is it key to God the Mother side of the equation? Okay, so if we talked about this a little bit when we discovered God the Mother and we were going through total deity, what you have, you know, is coming around from the first center, you know, wrapping around through from level 1 through 2, 3, 4, 5, I mean, all around to the, you know, and lastly as the infinite upholder, you know. We follow God the Father around, getting, you know, lastly in that sixth level as the infinite upholder. Okay. The infinite upholder then, see, what's beyond it? The infinite capacity. Okay. The infinite upholder extends, you know, into the infinite capacity, fills the infinite capacity, and then where is it? It's right up, butting up against level 1. The infinite upholder is now directly in contact with the Paradise Trinity. Before we go any further, let's remind ourselves. Remember, up there in level 1, You have this very key facet of deity, the universal one of infinity. That's the beginning of this greater understanding. I mean, it's where you really are starting to leave the seven absolutes of infinity, you know, initial assumption behind. The universal one of infinity is the key. Because like we pointed out up there, you can think of it as having two sides. And you need to understand it, you know, by looking at both sides. On the one side, you have the first center, you know, the beginnings, the root of God the Father. Okay? The omnipersonalizable side. You know, like we said, you can kind of think of it as, you can't really split it off, but it can dimple it, okay? And create a first center, you know, a peak there. It's the center for the Father, the root of the Father, standing around. The other side is perfectly flat, okay? It's not personalizable at all. That non-personalizable side of the universal one of infinity is the Paradise Trinity. Okay? And remember how we talked about, what's the difference here? Because the two things in level one there are the infinite and the universal one of infinity, that static level. And the infinite is the foundation for the unity viewpoint. That's where you're taking, you know, that static point or at static level, and you're viewing it as just one infinite point, the infinite. It's the foundation of the unity viewpoint. One infinite point. That's the infinite. Okay, but the universal one of infinity, it's a universal one. Okay, in other words, you have a point. Here's one point. Here's one point. You know, and it's universal, spread out through all of infinity. You know, there's an infinite number of contiguous points, but each one is—it's not one infinite point. It's an infinite number of contiguous points. That's the way to understand what that universal one of infinity is. Okay, and so you immediately have, if you think about something that's universally spread through infinity like that. Part of infinity is all, you know, is finity. Part of infinity is absonity. I mean, and it's not all a single point now. It's not all blurred together in one like it is the infinite. There's these points are in the finite. These points are in the absolute. You know, these points are in the absolute. You know? So the Paradise Trinity, because it represents that non-personal aspect of the universal one of infinity, it has downstepped expressions. This part is the Paradise Trinity functioning on the level of supremacy. That's the Trinity of supremacy. You know, and it's separate from this part, because even though they're contiguous, I could imagine drawing a line between the points that are in this on one side of this line and the points that are on the other side. So the Paradise Trinity downsteps its functionality out of, you know, beyond that infinite level. So what happens if I bring the infinite upholder and around through the infinite capacity and it meets the Paradise Trinity? Now that functionality of the Paradise Trinity sends it back as downstepped expressions, the absonite upholder, the finite upholder. Okay? The finite upholder in that supreme level, the supremacy level. You remember, supremacy means the functioning of deity on the supreme level. It's the functionality of supreme deity, of supremacy. You have the finite upholder gets expressed in that sixth level, that supreme level. Okay? The finite upholder is a facet of the mother deity. Yeah, it's one of the expressions of that type of deity that's called the mother. Just like the deity that's called the father has six different expressions. The first source, the first center, the first source, universal father, universal creator, the universal controller, and the infinite upholder. The mother has, you know, several expressions too. Those are the two umbrella deities. one over the existential, one over the experiential. And so you have the finite upholder there on the sixth level. That's the mother that we're talking about. We're talking about the total finite. And we're talking about what's going into making God the supreme directly as the expression of the total. Okay, so that's what they mean. Yeah, and you only know that when you've gone through all that we went through to be able to actually finally have this picture. But that's what they're invoking, the curiosity to eventually discover, which we now have and can talk about by that sentence. You know, it's only through the Trinity that you get this personal purposive aspect, you know, the action facet of God the Supreme into play. Okay? Now, the other side, how does the other side work? We alluded to this a little bit in Total Deity. Over there, I mean, you have the level of the total finite, the supreme level there, level 6. They're in level 5, you know, the actual evolutional level, you know, the inside the finite level where we are. You know, the functionality of Deity meets us directly. You have the universal controller and the sevenfold. Okay? So how does this almighty facet come into existence? Well, the way it works is, think about, those two are functioning together in that level. They're juxtaposed directly in that level. So what happens? Universal controller is at the top of the controller side of God the sevenfold. Remember, God the sevenfold is these two parallels, you know, creator side and the controller side. Universal controller is at the top of the controller side. Okay, it comes all the way down that side of the sevenfold where you have the supreme controllers and the three levels to the bottom where they're meeting the finite. And then the supreme controllers are directly in parallel with the supreme creators over on the other parallel side of the sevenfold. And how are they connected? How do you get from controller to creator? Well, from matter through mind to spirit. You get to that, you connect the two through the triodities. And the triodities, there's not just one actuality, there's a potentiality and an actuality, like this whole bit about original actual potential. I mean, that's an evolutional process. You're in the evolutional level, after all. You know, there's an evolutional process that's bringing this, what's coming down from the universal controller into the supreme controllers, it's bringing it across and into connection, into relationship with the supreme creators. Then you go up, you know, as it comes across, it goes up, and you know, you get up in the middle on that side, and you're at the supreme level. You know, that power gets expressed in supremacy by going down, across, up, and into that sixth level, you know. And that's the Almighty. The Almighty, the power side, the power personality synthesis that's making the Supreme, comes about, you know, it's being formed within level 5 and then being expressed into level 6 as the Almighty, where it meets the finite upholder, the mother, and the two are synthesized there as the Supreme. You know, the other thing that's in level 6 there. Okay? That's this engine. See, the Supreme, and see, notice how the Supreme is coming into existence. You know, there's an influence that's coming down upon the finite, the personal component, and then there's the power that's coming up out of the finite. You know, it's coming from the two directions. It's a fundamentally a bidirectional flow of deity coming into the sixth level there and forming the Supreme. That's how that synthesis is forming. And, you know, as they go forward, they're going to, you know, the very fact that you set up on this highest level of the finite, the total finite level, this bidirectional flow, that's why there's so much bidirectional flow in the phenomena of the finite. Things like descending suns and ascending suns, all these bidirectional things. It's because that which is, ruling over the total finite is bidirectional in nature. So everything within it is. Within the finite is bidirectional. That's the beginning. And so there is two things, two italicized things. There's the origin, And notice, see, you know, the previous thing, we had the original, and it was all about the first source and center. And right away, they say, well, except there's the other side of the original. The other side of the original is the Paradise Trinity. See, it says, for the Trinity is original deity. There's two sides to the original. Okay, this is, you know, and to understand, to really understand the finite phenomenon that is this, you know, the Supreme, you have to understand the other side of the original. You can't just get it from the seven absolutes of infinity side of the original. You go around to the other side of the universal one of infinity. Okay? So that, you know, there's another original, if you will, you know, the all are side. It's just the I am side. And then growth is in italics. And that's why they keep emphasizing the triodities. Because on that, on the almighty side, the critical link in the whole phenomenon is going from the supreme creators or controllers over to the supreme creators. That link is through the triodities. And it's evolution. It's growth. Okay? So growth is a fundamental component of the power side. And the Trinity is the fundamental component of the person, personal side.
So let me repeat this back.
All right. So just there's the picture. Now let's see if we can go forward and see how they build on that. Okay.
That, yeah. The growth is important because you wouldn't end up with the end result without the superadditive consequence of the combination.
Yeah, and just see, and just how immediately understand when you've got this picture, it's the evolutional level. That's what that level's called. That's where the growth. You know, if they say the word, that's where it's got to be. And we just now we exactly understand precisely what part of all that growth we're talking about is going into the Supreme.
And there's
got to
be a feeling attached to all this. I know it. I can feel it because. Yeah. It's got to be some kind of a rapture thing going on with these deities. Not just flat dimensional.
No,
it's
not. And see, the more you can have the whole picture, the more you'll begin to feel, you know, the magnificence, this incredible dynamo, see, that is the cosmos that you're part of. It's pumping like this. You know, just that vision of it pumping through the sevenfold like that and into the Supreme. I mean, you know, and pumping, you know, from the infinite upholder, you know, off the Trinity and back into the, you know, level of supremacy. I mean, just see that engine from the top down and the bottom up that's driving the universe that you live in. That's why it's such a fundamentally dynamic place that, you know, that we experience.
Where in the book do you find out about the universal one of infinity?
That's back in Deity and Reality. Where they introduce that. And if you look in the little blurb about the Universal One of Infinity, they're doing the same thing that I was pointing out in this previous section. They say, well, on the one side, but then on the other side. Yeah, they're right in there, they're trying to give you the hint, you know, the clues. You know, and then you read further on, remember, and you come upon that thing. The Paradise Trinity is truly one of infinity. truly. Yeah, it literally is the non-personalizable side of the universal one of infinity. You know, they practically spell it out. If you would just put all the things they say together, it's all right there to see this picture. You just have to put it together.
middle of last year, I think I read paper 11. So I got into my physics book for some reason. I started reading about physics. And I said, oh, the Urantia book addresses this, so I started reading it. But the material side of creation, the nether side of paradise, literally sounds exactly like you described. It's a pumping motion of force charge from the nether side of paradise by the master force organizers, I think, into reality, into the continuum.
That flow flows through the primary master force organizers and becomes pervaded space.
Like a heart. They call it like a pumping heart. The whole top side of paradise, though, seems to be more, well, I'm sure you could think of it as
what does the word paradise mean? It means stasis.
Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. The the Paradise Trinity and the Paradise Isle. You know, what's in common there? That adjective. What does that adjective mean? Well, where are they? They're up in that static level, the first level. Okay. There's only, you know, in terms of energy, power, there's only one thing that's not in motion in all of infinity. What is it? Paradise Isle. Yeah. The Paradise Trinity is the deity side of that stasis, if you will. Now, the Paradise Isle and the Paradise Trinity are these two non-personal aspects of deity and reality that are anchoring everything in the first level there. And you kind of see how that, you begin to see as you read it, get the story going in your mind, you can start to kind of add the Paradise Isle to the story too, but we'll wait until it comes up. Let's read a little. Okay, let's get the rest of that paragraph here.
And the evolutionary supreme is the culminating and personal evolutional focus of the transmutation, the transformation of potentials to actuals in and on the finite level of existence. The two triodities, actual and potential, encompass the totality of the interrelationships of growth in the universes.
Okay. That sentence should have been alive with picture. You got what we just said in your head. Look at what they say there. Okay, there's an and right off the bat. Culminating and, personally volitional focus. Okay. What part? The Almighty or the Mother? Which part is culminating? Yeah, that growth part that's and the evolutional, that's the Almighty. Okay? The Almighty is the culminating part. And personally volitional focus, you know, the power personal, personal purposive side is the Mother. And notice the wording there. It's not just personally volitional, but they add focus. Remember, the thing that you need, you know, that you want to begin to recognize about that facet, the deity is called the Mother, that's the individuality of the whole. You know, it is the expression of the focus of the whole. Individuality of the whole. And it's personalizable. The Mother can be that deity can be personalized as God the Mother. Okay? It's personalized from the first source. Okay? So that's the Almighty and the Mother. And then notice again, the first thing is the time viewpoint of the transmutation. Okay, why is transmutation the time viewpoint word? You know, if you know what, you know, the word transmute means, how that's different than transform. Transmute is, I've got potentials, and almost like magic, they're transmuted into actuals. Okay, and that's this time viewpoint of potentials being transmuted into actuals. Okay, but the eternity viewpoint, no, there is no such transmutation. That which we call potentials and that which we call actuals are both literals there of two different forms. You've got something in this form and you transform it into this. You know? It's just a transformation from the eternity viewpoint and not a transmutation. It's the same thing. See, they're just constantly challenging you to get both sides in play.
Okay. So what you're describing is happening anyway, but I'm wondering about us.
Yeah.
You know, it seems like these trillions of personalities inside of the finite are part of this, an essential part of this function.
Yeah, well, that's coming. Okay. Let's let them get to that, and you'll see how they put us into that picture. Right. And then the one other thing, there's another and there. The potentials to actuals in and on. Okay? You know, you should be able to differentiate that. And you might notice that they're in the same order as the culminating and personally volitional focus. Okay, in terms of the finite, we had one component that was being generated in the finite, the Almighty. Yeah, that sevenfold engine was pumping. You know, that's in. You know, but the finite upholder, that's the total finite upholder. That's on the finite. That's in the total finite level, the supreme level. That's on the finite, not in the finite. See? So the Almighty is very much in, and that's why so often when they're talking about the supreme, in terms of just now, you know, they focus on the Almighty, you know, because that's what's in the finite. The mother, is the individuality of the whole. How does it actually achieve that of being the individuality of the whole? Because it's on top of the finite. You know, it's that immediately transcendent surface of the finite, the total finite. It's the whole. Okay? It's on, it's in and on. Okay? Almighty in, mother on. So that's, you know, that's what all that, see, it's all right there in that sentence, you know, for you to see that full picture. You just, you know, don't let a word just roll by. It's like, okay, why does it say both in and on, you know, et cetera? And why is it in and why is it on? And, you know, just keep challenging yourself to answer each of those questions, and then the picture comes together.
All right, let's get some more. The source of the supreme is in the paradise trinity, eternal, actual, and undivided deity. The supreme is first of all a spirit person, and this spirit person stems from the Trinity. But the supreme is secondly a deity of growth, evolutionary growth, and this growth derives from two triodities, actual and potential. If it is difficult to comprehend that the infinite triodities can function on the finite level, pause to consider that their very infinity must in itself contain the potentiality of the finite. Infinity encompasses all things, ranging from the lowest and most qualified finite existence to the highest and unqualifiedly absolute realities.
Okay, see, that's just the same statement that we made with the Trinity. And because the Paradise Trinity can definitely be thought of as this collection of points, you know, so that there's these parts of the finite points and these are the absolute points, etc. Same way with the three reservoirs. You know, we're thinking about these as reservoirs for, you know, spirit substance and material substance and mind energy, you know, these things. Those reservoirs are split up. Here's all the finite potential. Here's all the absolute potential. Here's all the absolute potential, etc. Okay? And so they're the same way. I mean, it's not hard to understand because you're allowed to think of it as an infinite collection of points rather than just one infinite point. It's very easy to understand how the finite is in the infinite there. Okay. Same thing. Okay.
It is not so difficult to comprehend that the infinite does contain the finite as it is to understand just how this infinite actually is manifest to the finite. But the thought adjusters, indwelling mortal man, are one of the eternal proofs that even the absolute God, as absolute, can and does actually make direct contact with even the lowest and least of all universe will creatures.
Let's go beyond the poetry that rings true. We can understand this. We just did. We just described this. Okay. Now, it's not as easy as understanding the collection of points, and I split it up into finite ones and the absolute ones, etc. But how does that work? You know, how it does, where does it say? Just how this infinite actually is manifest to the finite. How does that work again? Like we said, you know, the Father comes all the way around, and lastly, he's the infinite upholder that extends into the infinite capacity. It engages the Paradise Trinity, which can downstep its functionality, so that relationship is downstepped, and there's the finite upholder. That's how it happens. Yeah, it's a little bit more complicated, but we just described it. Yeah. Now, obviously, there's an infinite number of things we don't understand, but we've got a beginning understanding, and there's no magic there. We literally followed it in a rational sequence, step by step. Okay? You know, even if we don't know all of the physics, if you will, of all those phenomena, it still is direct.
Would a simple way, another way of paralleling what you just stated, be that how the love of God gets translated into the law of God?
How the love of God comes around and meets the law of God,
right.
and brings them together.
Right.
I mean, a power personality synthesis is a exercise of law, exercise of love synthesis. Now think about the thought adjuster. You can understand how the thought adjuster gets to you now too. Because, you know, what is the thought adjuster? We recognize that the Father, you know, these six aspects of the Father, two of them have the adjective infinite. You know, those are the two reservoir parts of the Father, the infinite one and the infinite upholder. You know, and we know the infinite one is the reservoir of all will. You know, he individuates a measure of that will and gives it to you as your personality. You know, individuated will. Yeah. So the other gift that he gives you, can only come from one place, the other reservoir. Okay? You know, he takes a measure of that reservoir, the infinite upholder reservoir. Which, remember, when you flip around to the individuality viewpoint, that's the universal absolute. Take a measure out of that infinite upholder reservoir, that substance, that fact, is an adjuster. Okay, well, exactly how, though, does that measure from the infinite reservoir in all of its absolute qualitative character get to you as a lowly finite? Well, the same way. You know, that measure of the infinite upholder, you know, it comes around and it was engaged to the first level. And the Paradise Trinity can get it back just like it got the full total expressions back, but with an additional thing. We need it literally to be anchored relative to the absolute of individuality, because it's an absolute individuality, individuation that's given to you. It's not something that's poured out on all flesh like the finite upholder is. This total finite thing that's on the finite. It has to come down in the finite as an individuality. Well, what's the absolute of individuality? How are things individuated relative to the Paradise Isle? See, the two of them are working together. The Paradise Isle and the Paradise Trinity are getting that adjuster to you. The Trinity is the means by which it gets downstepped, just like the full total upholder expression gets downstepped. And it can be individuated relative to the Paradise Isle, which it's been put directly in contact with. That's how it comes to be. I mean, nothing is individuated except it's relative to the Paradise Isle. That's why, remember, when we talk about the absolute of unity as opposed to the absolute of individuality, the Isle of Paradise, when you talk about the absolute of unity, the body of the eternal Son. And when we talk about the children of the eternal Son on the eternal Son's worlds, it's like, well, okay, this has no direct relationship to individuality. So how can you even contemplate beings when they're not individuated? Remember, even the relators are just at a loss here. If it's going to be individuated, they know it has to somehow have gotten anchored on the Isle. Well, that little measure of the infinite upholder got anchored on the Isle, and then reached down to us. So that makes sense. The beings, quote unquote, or entities, or whatever, they don't even know what to call them. The eternal Son, that's completely mystifying. Okay. But so you can do this. See? All you have to do is begin to see it from both viewpoints together. Let your consciousness work in the infinite eternal ellipse and just set of some along some temporal line where it all is just kind of magical. And you use the word transmute for basically everything. Everything magically turns into gold along that line from baser metals. which is the root of the word transmute, root use of it. So that's part of the answer of how we fit into the picture, bringing the adjuster in. And then you'll see that, they bring us in more as we get more talking about the bidirectional flow.
They added two words, lowest and least.
Does that
include the midwares or the unrevealed?
Well, no, that's us. Yeah. We're the lowest of the low on the least of the least.
This is new to you.
For those of you, who were a little squeamish about me using the word lesser angels, for that lowest order of angels. There's less, lesser, and least. Okay, you and I. we're the lowest phenomenon that can be engaged by personality.
But the last will be first, can be first.
Yeah, and of course, that last can be first and first can be last. What does that sound like? That sounds like looking at something from two different viewpoints, doesn't it? See? That's why Jesus is going to say something like that about the truth of what you are. Because, like we said, the whole finite is fundamentally this bidirectional flow phenomenon.
Thank you.
All right.
So triodities, which collectively encompass the actual and the potential, are manifest on the finite level in conjunction with the Supreme Being. The technique of such manifestation is both direct and indirect. Direct insofar as triodity relations repercuss directly to the Supreme, in the Supreme. Mm-hmm. And indirect insofar as they are derived through the eventuated level of the absolute.
Okay, so just, you can see there, let's see what they're setting up in the next paragraph, but notice what, they're just talking more about the bidirectional there. And you notice how they, the Supreme Being along with the triodities, like remember how we talked about the in and the on back, the prepositions back in the previous section. We talked about that a little bit. They're bringing that up again here. You have the triodities and the Supreme Being on the finite. They're coming down into the supreme level, the sixth level, which is on the fifth level. That's the picture they want you to have there.
Supreme reality, which is total finite reality, is in process of dynamic growth between the unqualified potentials of outer space and the unqualified actuals at the center of all things. The finite domain thus factualizes through the cooperation of the absonite agencies of paradise and the supreme creator personalities of time. The act of maturing the qualified possibilities of the three great potential absolutes is the absonite function of the architects of the master universe and their transcendental associates. And when these eventualities have attained to a certain point of maturation, the supreme creator personalities emerge from paradise to engage in the age-long task of bringing the evolving universes into factual being.
Okay, so now they're bringing more into this. Remember, we talked about this a little bit when we were talking about total deity. Just how powerful this infinite, eternal, and lips picture is, because you can start to bring in just the hierarchy of the energy levels and the whole center-focused cosmology of the whole master universe. So just like we've been talking about how the supreme level here, level six, is between five and seven. In other words, it's in between the sevenfold and the infinite capacity, and the ultimate, the super universe level is in between, the central universe and the outer space levels. That what is literally manifest in the cosmology has the same order as the deity, functionality of deity does around the ellipse, because it's all one. And so if something is in between in the deity sense, it has to be in between in the actual cosmos sense as well. Okay, the super universe level is in between these two, and so think, bring the rest of because we figured out who the architects of the master universe are in terms of what kind of deity they are and stuff, and so you can completely see this picture. Remember, we teased out the little clues combined with just sort of inevitability of the picture that we were painting in the total deity, and we recognized that you take we were bringing the infinite upholder into contact with the paradise trinity so it can get down stuff. There's level 7 right up against level 1. The infinite capacity is right up against this downstepping phenomenon. Okay, and so that capacity type of deity gets downstepped. There's a facet of it that's absolute capacity. Infinite capacity gets downstepped to absolute capacity and absonite capacity. Okay? In particular, just that taking just that part of the picture. So you have this infinite capacity in relationship to the functioning of the Trinity of ultimacy in that seventh level. And that gives rise to this facet of deity, this expression of deity, the absonite capacity. That's the type of deity that are the architects of the master universe. That's their deity type. They're made out of that type of deity. A very different type of deity. Remember, we talked about that than all the other stuff that we talk about. That's why they come off as very odd in the whole picture when they're describing them. When you take the unqualified absolute, the thing that seems to be the most removed from deity possible, this non-deity absolute, you flip it over, and on the unity view, from the unity viewpoint, it's a facet of deity. It's the infinite capacity. And so the absonite capacity is architects of the master universe is in level 7 there, on one side of level 6, just like they're saying, just like the outer space levels, we're going to have the eventuation of the absonite, happening eventually, is on the outside, okay, of the Supreme. And then on the inside, Supreme Creator Personality, it's a sevenfold in level 5, okay? Okay, so they're just showing that you can see all this in the picture. All they've done, to what we said right at the beginning of this section, they just brought in the master architects into the picture too, and the actual cosmology at the super universe level is in between the center and the outer.
Going to this issue of things working both ways, the eternal infinite time space viewpoints and eternal ellipse and all this stuff. And then relating that to what Jesus said about the first shall be last and the last shall be first. Mm-hmm. I know we're going back. Sorry about that.
No.
To be a little slow, but I thought Jesus was talking about and kind of warning people with that what looks to be the preferred places among men may not necessarily be so in heaven, and to be careful and discerning about such things. I never really
remember what they point out, that Jesus never said something just for the audience in front of him, or just for that time. He was always speaking. There's always greater depth. It's just like the fifth epical revelation. You go back to the fourth, and that's what part 4 is trying to help us to do. Be able to go back to the fourth and see how you can dig deeper and deeper and deeper and deeper. There's a superficial understanding, but there's a vastly deeper understanding that's possible too. And that's all I was trying to bring out. Yes, what you're saying is completely correct. But it's even more than that too. The only way that we're actually going to be able to fully understand the really big picture meaning of the first shall be last and the last shall be first is we have to get to the last section of the last paper in this Pentateuch about God the Mother. We've got to get through the seven bestowals, and in that last section, they really finally bring it all together and answer that question about how you really can fully understand the relationship between you and Creator Sons, and how this full reciprocal picture, first shall be last shall be first, you know, the fact that there's a reciprocal character of the picture, how you can fully understand that. You know, so that's just a teaser. That's one of the things we're building towards, to be able to have this fully in our understanding, so that when we get to that last of these five papers, we see so much more than just, well, that was the precursors to, you know, when he came here. There's so much more going on there, including to be able to really better understand, you know, what you are. You're much more than an ascending son, too. Just as a creator son is much more than a descending son. And yet you're still a reciprocal pair. And you know, to be able to paint that whole picture, that's what we're going to do when we get to the end there.
The growth of supremacy derived from the triodities, the spirit person of the Supreme, from the Trinity, but the power prerogatives of the Almighty are predicated on the divinity successes of God the Sevenfold. While the conjoining of the power prerogatives of the Almighty Supreme with the spirit person of God the Supreme takes place by virtue of the ministry of the conjoint actor who bestowed the mind of the Supreme as the conjoining factor in this evolutionary deity.
Okay. See, notice how they just keep challenging you to not be satisfied. It's like, wait a minute, I've got, you know, they said the power prerogatives of the Almighty, they gave me a direct name for the power pattern of the Supreme, but they kept saying, then there's the spirit person of the Supreme. Don't you wish you had a name for that part too? you know, who is, you know, I'll even take the second one, the spirit person of God the Supreme. What's the name for the spirit person of God the Supreme? Say it. God the Mother. The power pattern of God the Supreme is God the Almighty. The spirit person of God the Supreme is God the Mother. God the Supreme, you know, that synthesis expressed in the twofold, you know, components. God the Almighty, God the Mother. Power pattern, spirit personality. You know, it's, they're building, you know, like I pointed out, this, they're going to keep doing this, keep suggesting, because remember, we've got like we pointed out right at the beginning, these five papers, you know, there's a central section, there's 21 sections on one side, 21 sections on the other side, and the peak section right in the middle that they're building up to right now is the section where they use the word finally, they put it down in black and white, God the Mother, you know. So that, you know, you build all the way up, it's like, oh, there it is. Yes, that, of course. Yeah, but we did a little, we're doing it in the antecedent following mode here. You know, we know, you know, what it's building to. You know, and so we can see how they're building it. You know, and again, I'll remind you, why are they doing it this way? Why aren't they, are they using this circumspect language here, spirit person? You know, why aren't they just saying the Mother, God the Mother? Because they want you to experientially discover the nature. Yeah, they want you to experientially discover the nature of that facet of deity.
Okay, I'll open the door.
Katie
just went
Katie's
to do
that. Lots of helpers here. Okay. Bring it back. Okay. You know, it's very important, you know, to understand that it's they've done this very purposely. Don't be fooled by this process. You know, they're not revealing existential deity, which you directly reveal. Remember, they just did it directly, indirectly? They're revealing experiential deity, the overarching truth of experiential deity. For you to truly acquire that, the truth of experiential deity, you need to discover it experientially, not existentially, not revelation by fiat, but revelation by growth. Yeah. You must grow in relationship to the book in order to discover God the Mother in it. If you haven't grown, you haven't found her. Yeah. See, think about what that implies. Yeah. Why haven't people found God the Mother in the revelation when she's just as huge as God the Father? Because they haven't grown. Okay? They're at the same place they were when they found the book. They've added greater meaning to what they were when they found the book. That little child of God has much more meaning than it did before it found the book. But it hasn't truly grown, at least not enough where it's found the other half of reality that's in the revelation.
Right. Yeah,
you've literally missed 50% of the content of the book if you haven't found God the Mother in it. You know, there's lots of ands in the book where on one side is the Father and then the other side is the Mother. You know, you literally have taken all the ands and the other phrase or clause out of the Urantia book. You know, you know they haven't been recognized for what they really are. It's the other side of the equation.
The last sentence.
What was that?
How do you square that with the last sentence of the book?
Just like I squared that right back here. Let's see. Where was that? Right. God is much, much more than a father. But the father is man's highest concept of God. Okay, it's the same sentence as the last sentence in the book. The Father is man's highest concept of God. But it is not your adjuster's highest concept of God. It is the time viewpoint highest concept of God. But it's not the infinite eternal ellipse viewpoint. Okay? In that viewpoint, you've got the whole picture, not just God the Father. You've got, and you don't just have, well, and God the Son and God the Spirit are some kind of sort of, you know, adjutants to the Father. And then there's that Trinity thing, which is kind of confusing. You have deity, and now you really have God for the first time. You know, you have God as it's defined in the foreword. God is personalized deity. So you have to find deity. In order to really begin to strike step with the adjuster's viewpoint of God, which is much, much more than Father.
We have superhuman concepts that we can access. Is that?
Yes. Because of, why? Remember they told you, right in the revelation, the only way that you're actually going to get the fullness of this revelation is by utilizing your relationship with your adjuster to catalyze your ability to see both sides of the picture.
That makes a human superhuman.
You know, to a degree.
True.
You only have to pray for it.
I mean, in this life, you first must serve two masters. There's always this limit here. You don't want to get too excited that somehow you now are, maybe I am God. You can get carried away on this track. Okay, but it is very important to realize that if we didn't have adjusters, it would be very hard for us to have a conversation even remotely similar to what we were having here tonight. They wouldn't even dream of trying to give us the fifth epical revelation prior to Pentecost. Okay? There might be two people on the planet that could maybe, with Melchizedek standing there helping them, okay, get something out of it. Okay? Because, there's almost no adjusters in play. Okay? So that's why they tell you that. I mean, use your adjuster. And why can you use your adjuster even though you perforce must serve two masters and you're a very lowly being? Maybe you're just a seventh circler. Because of the other thing they tell you is essential to being able to get this, the way to the adjuster, the spirit of truth. You got to use the spirit of truth to get yourself connected to the adjuster if you want to really get into the fifth epical revelation and not just have that faint flicker of faith view of God. Yeah. If you really want to see the full picture.
You you know, the, what Hal quoted at the end of the book, and then a quote that I always remember, also in the fourth section, in the last analysis, the universe is truly fatherly. Those were both penned by Midwayers. Midwayers did all of part four. Midwayers, to my recollection, do not have adjusters. But they feel it is, you know, this is one of the many reasons, you know, I can't comprehend, you know, all the reasons. But one of the reasons could be that, you know, it's very important to get that initial alignment from the Father. You get that initial alignment, and then you can use the forces of the mother to weave around that alignment, and then everything will be in harmony. Mm-hmm. That alignment's off, you know, and that's why they reemphasize that, I think, the Midwayers, because it's critical for our civilization mm-hmm. that we, if nothing else, we stay with that alignment or get that alignment right.
Yeah, hold that picture in your head, and you'll notice that they use the same picture coming up just next, we'll talk a little bit about that picture and how that picture happens. We just had this last little section, and you're going, what is this? Where it's this tiny little section. You could have titled this section, oh, by the way, did you notice that I mentioned the Trinity in the previous section? You didn't? Okay, well, let me mention it again.
Let me mention how important.
Okay? That is this next section. Literally. Wait, you know, wait till we read it here and you'll see. You know, this is... They are not going to let you get past this point in the book with just the seven absolutes of infinity. You know, as your initial assumption. They're not going to let you... not really challenge yourself to begin to bring in some kind of bigger picture. And so they say it again.
Relation of the Supreme to the Paradise Trinity. The Supreme Being is absolutely dependent on the existence and action of the Paradise Trinity for the reality of his personal and spirit nature. While the growth of the Supreme is a matter of priority relationship, the spirit personality of God the Supreme is dependent upon and is derived from the Paradise Trinity.
Okay, so not only did they say it again, they said it again twice.
Yeah.
Whichever remains as the absolute center source of perfect and infinite stability around which the evolutionary growth of the Supreme progressively unfolds.
Okay. There is the picture that John just painted. Okay? There's a center source, and around it, yeah, he literally,
yeah,
he just did that, didn't he? Okay? He's, yeah, right there. They're using the exact same picture. Okay? Okay, now why? Again, this, they're doing a little bit more than just... repeating repeatedly. They're also, with that last little bit, wanting you to go back to what I told you is one of the most important sentences in the whole book that begins to take you beyond just God the Father and the first source and center. Okay, to get that other side of the original coming into play. Now, and this distinction is vital. Remember? You know, in other words, it's fundamental to understanding what you are as a living phenomenon. Vital. Vitality. Living. This distinction is vital. For in a cosmic system, the individual members are not connected with each other. Not connected with each other except in relation to the whole and through the individuality of the whole. Okay? God the Father initiates. He's an injection, an initiator, a spark, you know, that starts it up. Okay? But he's not the connector. He's just the initiator. For in a cosmic system, individual members are not connected with each other except through the individuality of the whole. Okay? And obviously the Father is not the whole. Okay? So he's not the individuality of the whole either. I've pointed out several times. You know, the basic understanding of the Father in that picture, in the beginning was the I Am, is that in the beginning, he freed himself from the fetters of unqualified infinity. Freed himself. He's over here, and the whole, the infinite whole, is over here. Okay? Okay? Freed himself from the fetters of unqualified infinity. It's like, well, maybe it's the Supreme Being. Maybe if you downstep it. No. But, it, you know, they just pointed out. It's just a downstep story. The Supreme Being freed himself, if we take the top-down view, freed himself from the fetters of unqualified supremacy. The whole. The total finite whole. It's not the Supreme Being either. It's not a he. The he's are outside. Mm-hmm. Okay? It's a she. Okay? The individuality of the whole is the mother. Okay? Yeah? This distinction is vital. The Father gave us the potential to have the brotherhood of man by making us kindred spirits. But just the potential. He didn't give us any actuality of the brotherhood of man. He gave us merely the potential for the brotherhood of man by making us kindred spirits. The true brotherhood of man is some measure of kindred minds. You know, more than island universes who have each individually consecrated their will to the perfect will of God the Father. It has to be a group of individuals who have collectively consecrated their minds to the universal harmony of God the Mother. The individuality of the whole, the universal harmony. That's the only way to actually realize the brotherhood of man, is through relationship with God the Mother. This distinction is vital. You know how desperately you want peace on earth and the brotherhood of man? Then you need to understand the fifth epical revelation to mankind. Because the Mother is the means to that. The Father just made it possible. Okay? But you have to choose to actually become part of the cosmic system. See, look at, when they're talking about that individuality of the whole on the infinite level, the absolute center source, just like the section that has God the Mother is in the center of the five papers, right? And the Trinity is the source of this deity of the Mother. The absolute center source of perfect and infinite stability. Okay, what do we call that down here in the finite domain? When you downstepped the perfect and infinite stability, it's called the universal harmony of the finite and the Mother. Only if we collectively, and we can't collectively tune into the Father, each of us has an absolutely individuated relationship with God the Father. We can't collectively tune into God the Father, but we can collectively tune into God the Mother. And this distinction is vital. It's the only way that I can be true to the universal harmony, you can be true to the universal harmony, you can be true all the way around the room. And if each of us is true to the universal harmony, guess what? There's harmony on earth. Brotherhood of man and peace on earth. But only if we take delight in cultivating these qualities of courageous and independent cosmic thinking. Mm-hmm. This distinction is vital.
So somebody who was born on a planet a trillion years ago and found the Father comes back into the finite in order for that wholeness of God the Mother, God the Supreme, to happen.
Like finaliters coming back out and perhaps seeding this process, catalyzing this process.
Making it home.
Ah, right. Now, what are those finaliters up to? What are those finaliters up to? There it is. See, this is, that perfect and infinite stability. Okay, that's the universal harmony. That is the cosmos. Remember, cosmos is a word that means both harmony and universe equally. So it has an intensive and an extensive expression. Just like you were talking about back here, there's both the intensive and that's related to deity and personality. And then there's the extensive that literally is expressed in the cosmos, you know, in the universe, I should say. Okay? On the one hand, that extant side, it's the harmonizing universe, because of course that's the time viewpoint. You know, that's the growth. You know, that whole evolutional level. You know, so there's an ing on that. It's a harmonizing universe. Okay, but there's an antecedent following, an intent that precedes. Because you know, remember how they worded that, where they said, "You have the architects." You know, set things up, and when these eventualities have attained to a certain point of maturation, the Supreme Creator personalities emerge from paradise to engage in the age-long task. See? Beginning, you know, that's that. There's an action, and then there's a reaction. Okay, and that's, you know, you have that action component coming down upon the finite. And then the seventh, God the Sevenfold, which is the God of reaction, remember, it's also we discovered in going through total deity. Not surprising, just like they said there, that reacts to that action. You know, the mother is the action facet. The Almighty is the reaction facet. Yeah, another way to understand what's being synthesized in the Supreme. Yeah. And it's just... like they're saying here, that you know, that it that right here where it says that the, you know, the whichever remains is the absolute center source of perfect instability, around which the evolutionary growth of the Supreme progressively unfolds. You know, that progressively unfold that reaction to that initiating action. Okay, and again, it's not just for means of getting brotherhood of man established, that the mother's essential. Okay, how are all these parts going to come together to form the Supreme Being? Okay? The individual members, the individual parts are not connected with each other except, you know, through the individuality of the whole. See, the mother is the means by which the Supreme can assemble. Because it's only through that individuality of the whole that the Supreme can be a synthesis of the finite, up out of the finite. Okay? So, you know, it, just to begin to really see how those two components come together. You know, that and that it's, you know, that super additive thing. How, you know, you're not going to take that finite upholder, really, and stick it inside the Supreme, you know. It's what is catalyzing and providing the way for the parts to come together through it to form the Supreme, is that super additive consequence. The Almighty is the collection of parts. It comes together through the individuality of the whole and makes the Supreme. That's why it's around which, see, the parts are around. And you know, just like they painted back there right before, the this distinction is vital sentence. Remember, they told you that in a system, you know, the individual members are not really related to each other. You know, they each relate to the whole. You know, that's the center. And all the parts are around. They're each relating to the individuality of the whole.
You've also called the Supreme the result.
The Supreme... yeah, I mean, it's...
act, react, resolve.
Right, it's a... you have an action and reaction. Yeah, yeah. And it's... and the type of result that it is it's a power personality synthesis. So, maybe just one little thought on that. In terms of... one little comment about where you fit in. Start thinking about the various aspects of you. There's going to be a part of you that's going to reflect this relationship to the mother. So there's going to be a part that's going to have a character that's like the individuality of a whole. And then there's also going to be a part, you eventually, you know, as you are rattling around in the finite for ages and ages and ages, okay, there's going to be a part that's like a synthesis. So there's two things. It's not like there's just going to be one thing. And again, really understanding the distinction between the Supreme and the Mother so that you can understand the difference between your relationship between the Supreme and the Mother. Your relationship to the Supreme is when you're going to have some kind of a power personality synthesis character, but your relationship to the Mother is going to be something much more direct, you know, not derived, but just fundamentally you connect to the whole and you reflect that being part of the all are. I am part of the all are. I have a relationship to the Father and the Mother.
The function of the Trinity is related to the function of the Supreme. For the Trinity is functional on all total levels, including the level of the function of supremacy. But as the age of Avana gives way to the age of the superuniverses, so does the discernible action of the Trinity as immediate creator give way to the creative acts of the children of the paradise deities.
Okay. One little mention. At the end of that previous section, you know, they brought in, they haven't really gotten to it yet. They'll get to it more, the Supreme Mind. Did you notice they, we've been kind of just talking about two parts of the triadity, the power and the personality, but of course they're, connected by mind. And so the same thing, and again, we always think of the Mother is the minister of mind. just like I was saying, how the Mother was, it was essential for this synthesis to happen through the Mother, and through that mindedness, that actually is the literal energy expression of the synthesis, the fact that the two are in relationship with each other, connected, the super additive consequence of that juxtaposition of power and personality. So eventually we'll bring in more about the Supreme Mind too. So that you have the Universal Mother and the Almighty Supreme and the Supreme Mind. All three of those components in a triadity fashion, really see, going into the Supreme. And then just this one last little thing. Why did they stick total in parentheses there? Yeah, you've heard me mention it over and over again. they're doing it here too. And again, remind yourself how you know that when you're talking about these expressions, these downstepped expressions of something in relationship to the Trinity, like the infinite upholder, it always is going to have to be a totality, to some measure, expression. Simply because, what's the root name of the Paradise Trinity? What facet of deity is it the non-personal, personalizable face of? The universal one of infinity. So if you downstepped the universal one of infinity, it's always going to be a total, because the word universal can't just evaporate. It has to be downstepped. And so anytime the Mother is expressed, it's relative to a total, so that it's a universal within some sphere. Wouldn't it be handy if the relators really made it easy to point those out by using the word universe to describe those various totals? That's why the word universe is used. A local universe, has a downstepped expression of the Mother, so that there's an individuality of that whole. It is a whole. There's a totality there, a measured totality. So there's a Mother there, Greater Mother Spirit, as the Mother type deity, the individuality of the whole type deity. Next one up is the super universe. Who's the Mother that expression there? That's the reflective spirit. There's a womb there. There's a whole there, and an individuality of that whole. There's the grand universe. Well, I'm talking about that one. That's the finite upholder. That's the universal Mother, related to the Supreme. Well, there's the master universe. Well, that's the absolute upholder, the bigger Mother. And there's also the central universe. There's the mother there. The eternal mother, son, and the infinite mother, spirit. You know, they have mother deity tacked on to their existential nature. They have experiential deity tacked on to their existential nature. What type of experiential deity? Experiential deity? Individuality of the whole type. Experiential deity. Mother type deity. Yeah. So the eternal son and the infant mother spirit, remember, had experiences in Havona before, everything began. And, and those experiences brought mother type deity. So they have an individuality of the whole relationship to the central universe. You know, if there wasn't that, it wouldn't be called a universe. The revelers are very careful. They only use that word, see, when there's a total, in play, like they're saying, because it's a downstepped expression of the universal one as a universe. All right.
Those sectors aren't minor sectors.
Right, see, minor sectors. See, there isn't a whole there, true whole. There's no individuality at all. You know, they're a component of a greater whole. let's see. One last little thing there, because it's kind of a beautiful poetry. But as the age of Havona gives way to the age of the super universes, so does the discernible action of the Trinity as immediate creator give way to the creative acts of the children of the paradise deities. That's just because there's two sides to this. You know, the antecedent, God the Mother, imposed on the finite, followed by, the actions of the supreme creators, the children of the paradise deities. Yeah, so that's that picture. Again, they're just reminding you of that picture and how you can really think of it, as having, there's an initiation through the personal purposive aspect, purposes it, and then the power pattern aspect reacts to that purposing, and the two come together as a synthesis. All right, so then we'll probably finish her up here next time. They pretty much spent the big wad right there. they want to just fill it in a little bit more. You can see how they want to talk a little bit more about the details of the triodities and get a little bit more of how we fit into the picture. And of course, you know that's a likely thing. They'd like to kind of bring it home towards the end of the paper so we can understand a little bit more how we fit into the picture. So they'll do that and wrap it up next time.
So where do Trinitized, beings fit in there?
Without going into off on a huge tangent there, just now that you have a better sense of this really fundamental role of the Trinity in the big picture, it gives you a whole different perspective on these Trinity origin beings. Think about this. Like an Ancient of Days is a Trinity origin being. And so, where's the mother there? And remember I kind of pointed that out. There's a highly suspicious, unrevealed thing that's revealed. the unrevealed creative agencies in the Ancients of Days. But just to see all of those Trinity and Trinitized personalities in this light, that they either were created to take on or are brought in, if they're Trinitized, to take on a much more direct role as related to the functionality of the Trinity. The Trinity of Ultimacy, the Trinity of Supremacy. That's the functionality of the Trinity, as opposed to the functionality of the first source and center, which is the triunities. See, that's the thing. We have two sides of the original. You have two sides of functionality. You know, they, you know, they're reminding you that, you know, you, it looks like the triunity is all this functionality that's tied to the first source and center is, you know, is apparently the whole ball of wax. Well, no, it's only half the picture. And those individuals that are going to take on a more direct role in facilitating the functionality of the Trinity rather than the triunities, okay, it's Trinity origin and Trinitized being, so you're going to be tied to that. Yeah. Okay. So, so we'll just wrap it up next time then, and we'll just keep rolling, heading towards the apex of God the Mother. Let's take a moment here.